The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the house, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Good morning, Kelly.
How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning. What's wrong with you? What's going on?
Well, not much. Just getting set up back here. You know how it goes.
Oh, okay. Just curious. Delayed response from me.
Yeah, you know. Just looking at live lawsuits and stuff.
Live lawsuits. Subpoenaing members at Augusta? That's what they're doing?
they're trying to? This is federal judge. This is an ESPN report. Federal judge denies a request by Live Golf to expand its discovery in its antitrust lawsuit against the PGA Tour. Let's see. To include communication with 10 Augusta National members, including former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice.
We don't appreciate your lawsuits against us.
I mean, I think they got to have a good argument, but you're going after Augusta and Condoleezza Rice? All right.
I'm not happy about this. I don't know why I go into Foghorn Leghorn when I do that. I apologize.
Yeah.
It'll be, again, if they were nicer, if they were more appealing people on the other end of that live lawsuit, maybe we have more sympathy. But
yeah, I think so.
Because they might be legal. They might have legal grounds.
It sure feels like it.
Yeah. On the show today, we are not lawyers, by the way. Should point that out as a disclaimer. JVT on the NBA a little later on the show. We'll talk to Eric Eager from Sumer Sports about Super Bowl 57. He is a Chiefs fan, right, Eric Eager? Isn't he by nature a Chiefs fan?
I don't know if he would consider himself a fan. Well, you did say that yesterday off the air, and I was thinking about it. I was like, I don't know if he's just really liked betting the Chiefs over the past like 3 years that we've been talking to him, if he's an actual fan. Yeah, I don't know.
Eagles fans are mad at enough in me already, so we don't need to like.
You know, like, I'm sure there's a lot of people here that would confuse me for a Vikings fan. I don't care about the Vikings.
By the way, Eagles fans, again, I had you power ranked 4th, not 24th. Let's everybody relax. Just say you couldn't determine if the handicap was good the other day. Kai McKeon from Three Man Weave will join us, talk college basketball. I don't know if you caught some Big 12 basketball last night, but that was pretty fascinating.
23-point comeback? Whew. Whew.
Texas Tech had not had a win in conference, were favored, and came back from that deficit against Iowa State. So we'll talk about that game. In addition to the Baylor-Texas game, other college basketball matters. And Drew Densick will join us to talk about his Arena Sabalenka bet that got home in the Australian Open. If he has any tennis futures moving forward, obviously Super Bowl 57, the NBA as well. Luka dropping 53 last night. Another quarter where he scored more than 20. His 4th quarter this year where he has scored 20 or more points. It's ridiculous.
There's been some incredible individual scoring performances. You've got that. Giannis, I caught the other night. He's already tied his career high for most 40-point games in a season.
Well,
and we're in January still. Like, there's some incredible individual performances going on this year.
I also want to get into, and I know we don't have Rihanna props widely proliferated yet for halftime. We have 2 weeks to get to this, so don't worry, we will. But I do want to give the annual PSA about the prop, the Super Bowl prop, the formulaic prop that flummoxes new or newish bettors the most year after year. I want to get into that. I'm sure some people who are longtime listeners know what that prop is, but others may not, so we'll talk about that. Seems so easy. Seems too good to be true. Nope, yeah. It's not. We'll let you know what that is. And I do have, although we don't have the halftime props from Rihanna, or as she says, Rihanna, we do have props in
What?
She says the proper pronunciation is Rihanna. But no one calls her that. Yeah, it's Rihanna.
It feels like a LeBron jersey change moment or something.
Well, anyway, that's for another time. But we do have the national anthem prop out there, and we do have an America the Beautiful prop out there. Now, I know there's a section of the audience that's like, really, are we talking about this? Yes, we are, because there's a bigger section that loves it. And if you can make money, you can make money. Now, the national anthem is being sung by Chris Stapleton, the more beautiful, in my opinion, song, America the Beautiful, being sung by the great R&B producer, songwriter, and artist Babyface, who Kelly had no idea who that was.
I mean, I've heard the name. I couldn't pick that person out of a lineup.
All right.
He or she out of a lineup.
We'll do that later on the show. He or she. Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. All right. First, though, we want to get into, we talked about these last week, but now a development, obviously, yesterday makes these props about where will Tom Brady play next year, where will Aaron Rodgers play next year, that much more interesting. Because Brock Purdy, in case you missed it, he wasn't faking it, or he wasn't exaggerating the injury on Sunday after Hassan Reddick hit him on the Niners' sixth snap of the game. And though Brock Purdy did come back in the game, he was only able to muster two forward passes, each of which probably traveled 5 yards or less. And he played basically the entire second half. Well, it turns out that he absolutely destroyed his UCL. So, torn UCL in his right elbow, the ulnar collateral ligament. So we know this, of course, you know, more from baseball. And here's the brief, and neither of us went to medical school either, we should point out. But here's the brief sort of thing is they are recommending surgery. Now, Brock Purdy is looking for a second opinion, as one should, but the Niners are like, no, he needs surgery. And so there's two outcomes of surgery. It's whether he needs a total reconstruction with a tendon graft, which is commonly known as Tommy John surgery, which we know from baseball, where the recovery is way past 6 months, which is what they're giving the estimate for. Or the better outcome is they just need to repair it as opposed to reconstruction. So those are the two key words, repair versus reconstruction. If it's repair, they do this thing that they did on Nick Mullins where they have something called an internal brace, and then the recovery ought to be much quicker, and the six-month range is really what will manifest.
Right.
So hopefully for him, he doesn't. I mean, what a tough break for that kid.
Ah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Man, I kind of wondered during that game. Like, it felt odd that during that game, it kind of felt like he might come back, and then it was like he was clearly not coming back. And I don't know, I started to wonder, is this maybe even worse than what we're thinking? And, yeah, unfortunately, it's sad.
Didn't you have the thought at one point, though, I mean, this is how, you know, ridiculous we are as fans and as bettors, too. Didn't you have the thought at one point, well, if he can come back in, why did we need a Josh Johnson injury for him to come, right? Like, there was
totally,
too.
Yeah, of course I did, yeah.
Yeah, poor guy, like, tore his UCL.
I mean, that's what we were discussing yesterday, yeah. Where I'm like, look, these... It was a great live betting situation, but I was hesitant at first because of stuff like that.
One of the great live betting moments, certainly early in this 2023 betting calendar, where we've already had a Georgia TCU great live betting moment. So what does this create from a betting standpoint? Well, you can bet on where Tom Brady will play next. You can bet on where Aaron Rodgers is going to play next. So if you just look at the Niners roster, the only two quarterbacks they have under contract for next year are Brock Purdy and Trey Lance. This would give new life in San Francisco, one would assume, to Trey Lance. Because I think before yesterday,
yeah,
it was sort of like, well, I think he's the odd man out. Nope, I think now he's back in. So they're the only two quarterbacks they have on a contract because Jimmy G, they can no longer extend on a franchise tag.
Yeah.
So he's
In theory, they could re-sign
him. They could re-sign him, but it's not like they have control of that.
Right.
So... it does bring up when you have a team as intact as the Niners, everywhere else seemingly, but that position, do you let a Trey Lance or Brock Purdy duke it out whenever Brock Purdy is ready, or do you go the free agent Hall of Fame route? Tom Brady now, his number on going to the Niners crashes, maybe appropriately so, to plus 150. He grew up there in San Mateo County, plus 150. On the Niners. Where was this before yesterday, Kelly?
5-1. I was putting this together last night. This was 5-1 on the Niners. I mean, which at the time I thought was worth a flyer. 150? I don't know anymore.
But I don't know anymore.
That's how much this has moved.
Raiders plus 175. They were the short shot returning to the Bucs, which doesn't seem to be a good viable option because he was really saying goodbye to his teammates at plus 250. We mentioned earlier the Dolphins at plus 750 seemed to represent some value because of those Sean Payton, Tom Brady tandem rumors from a year ago.
Yeah.
But the Dolphins appear not to want to pursue this based on reports.
I've read some Aaron Rodgers stuff rumors to Dolphins too. I don't know why if that Brady to the Dolphins story, you know, alleged story was true.
It was.
And it was. Like, why would we think any differently now? I even think this would be more of an appeal.
Aaron Rodgers also grew up in the Bay, though.
Yeah.
and Aaron Rodgers to the. I know it was sort of like, hey, it's going to be the Jets. The Packers remain the favorite, minus 115. The Jets are plus 115. The Niners are still 18-1. If you are John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, and let me just point out before I ask the question, Kyle Shanahan, keep in mind there's a human element to this. He's credited with RG3, 2012, appropriately so, being, you know, rookie of the year. Matt Ryan in his greatest year, even though they lost the Super Bowl. Brock Purdy this year. But if you sign Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, it becomes a little less fun for Kyle Shanahan. And remember, we should never underestimate the ego element of that. Wait, if we win a Super Bowl, I won't get any credit for this? What do you think? If you're the Niners, what do you do?
Man, I loved the idea of, because this is the question I loved asking a few weeks ago to Niners fans of, like, are we just assuming Brock Purdy's the man next year? Because nobody's been bringing up Trey Lance, right?
Well, now we can't.
So I loved the idea of, personally, of this team entering the offseason with those two healthy young quarterbacks that haven't earned the right to anything yet, that you could do a total college route with of, it's a open quarterback competition. Whoever can win this, great. We'll put the other guy on the bench and maybe move him after this year. After this injury, Gil, you're not going to be able to go into camp likely with an open quarterback competition like that. I think you go out and get Brady. I'm actually sold on that now. Never thought about it before. I think 49ers best interest. Go get Brady. Do like a one-year deal with him. See what he can do. You can't waste time with the pieces this team has.
But you wouldn't make the bet at the current price, though?
No, not a public.
Sometimes the best bets are the bets not made. We'll come back. Drew Dinsick on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Just download the BetMGM app today. It won't take you but a few seconds, and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Won't take you but a few minutes, and then you start placing sports bets from anywhere in the state of Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. Ladies and gentlemen, I compared the women's final at the Australian Open to Hearns Hagler back in 1980. Was it 83 or 85? I can never remember.
It was the greatest
8 minutes of boxing. Are you not familiar with that fight?
I mean, I know of it. I don't know what year it took place in, though.
Oh. Anyway, it was ridiculous pugilism. Hagler took a standing eight, finally knocked out Hearns. It was just unbelievable, going at each other. But anyway, that's what Sabalenka and Rybakina was like the other night. Sadly, I had Hearns, Rybakina, but this gentleman had Hagler. Arena Sabalenka, we join him now, Drew Dinsick, at @whale_capper, and of course, the host of the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast. How you doing, man? Congratulations.
Still coming down from that one, man. Whew. Whew.
What a match.
That was unbelievable. Yeah, Hearns Hagler, 85, April of 85. Yeah. Caesars Palace in Paradise, Nevada. That match, the women's, I think we set it up correctly.
Yes.
The women's Australian Open was awesome.
It was incredible.
The men's was an absolute snooze.
But we knew that, right? We knew it from the beginning that it would be.
Yeah. We expected that was how it was going to go. The women's side was, it was absolutely outstanding. The final was must-watch television. You know, at 5-4, serving for the match, the tension in the arena was, it was so heavy. And honestly, you know, I Rybakina gave her some pretty soft points in that service game early on to get it to 30-30. She serves the ace at 40-30. And I mean, I don't know that there was a live market on double fault on championship point, but it probably should have been double fault minus 1500-ish. It's like you can see her arm and her hand and the racket is just like.
I know this is not a sports betting point, but it's imagine the moment in that lady's life, right? She had this hype about her. She never had gotten to this point in any slam. She's finally there. It's on her racket. Rybakina, you know, staved off several match points, had a break point herself. So just an amazing, and that's the beauty of tennis, man. The combination of physical and mental, there's nothing like it. Yeah.
Yep. And I think the break point on 5-4, if Rybakina comes through with the winner there, I think the match is over. I don't know how you come back from that.
I do too.
And you know, it was such a relief to see it kind of finally her win, and you know, the laying down and the crying and the celebration, and all of that was just awesome. But man,
and it should be pointed out, we were watching this.
Was incredible.
We were watching this at 3 a.m. It should be pointed out. Yes,
it was the middle of the night. It was literally try not to scream and wake everybody up at the house. You know, it was just kind of, hey everybody, just settle down. This is cool.
What number did you have her Sabalenka at? What number did you get her?
I think best I got was 16-1, but I aggregate across everything I bet, because I added more in tournament at 675, 875. I think in aggregate I was a little under 10-1 for my position in total.
Good for you, man.
But boy, did I need it, man. Not because the rest of the Australian Open went poorly, but just based on, you know, the way last year went, you know, so many second places. It felt like every single tournament I had the second place runner. So
anyway,
I was overdue there. So that was huge. But boy, was that incredible. And honestly, like, if the Australian Open didn't get you into tennis betting, then I don't know what will. it was great.
We can only try and try again. Before we move on from tennis, do you have any slam futures in pocket, men's or women's?
So now that Sabalenka has this title, like the realistic expect, even though like clearly her game was the class of, I thought, the entire women's field, but her you know, her skill set is tailored to that fast court speed, right? And so now we kind of go through a cycle where we're doing indoor hard courts that are a little lower stakes, then we go to Indian Wells where things are a lot slower, and then Miami, which is her hometown. I think between now and Miami, I would expect a little bit of an exhale from her, right? Like Sabalenka is going to do a little bit of a, you know, hey, I got my slam. Like, I don't need to grind as much anymore for points. Like, I got my standing, I got my slam. Like, she can, I think, relax a little bit between now and maybe Miami. Maybe Miami, because it's her hometown, or, you know, at least where she lives now. I would expect that she gives you a little bit of an honest effort there. Conditions a little bit better for her skill set. So she may be a contender at Miami, but then I would expect her to, outside of Madrid, not really be a contender at all on the clay slate. In fact, I think clay slate is really Iga's to lose. I'll be surprised if anyone can match her quality on clay this season. So Iga, even at, you know, even if you can find her at plus 100 for the French Open, I think that's a bet. I honestly think that your other, you know, semifinalists and finalists in at the French Open may just be some random shots. There's really nobody else kind of at the top of the game who has anywhere close to, you know, outstanding clay tennis. So I think, you know, it's going to be Iga and some surprises at the French Open. Iga wins in comfortable form. And then Wimbledon would be the next realistic time where you're going to see a really competitive women's slam. And I think that's going to come down to Sabalenka, Rybakina, and Ons Jabeur. And Jabeur does not match up, obviously, skill set wise, with what you have between, you know, with the power that Rybakina and Sabalenka bring to the table. But I think I did grab a little Sabalenka for Wimbledon. I think she's good down to 6-1. I think I got some 10-1 and some 8-1. And I think those numbers are still hanging around out there. They may get bigger if she does do an exhale and has a couple of disappointing, you know, outcomes here between now and, you know, when we get to grass season. I think she definitely, if she can bring anywhere close to that level of tennis at Wimbledon, she should be the favorite.
Yeah, this is, I was on, the folks over at MSG were kind enough to have me on yesterday to do some tennis stuff. And I could tell they were so disappointed with my very unsexy French Open answers. I'm like, no, it's Iga. Yeah. And then on the men's side, it really is Djokovic, Nadal, or Alcaraz, depending on health. And there's really nobody else, right? It's just those three.
Absolutely right. If I put you on the spot and said who should be second choice for the French Open, who would you even choose right now?
Who would you even choose? I don't know. I really don't.
it realistically could be a breakout candidate by the time we get there, because Yeah, there's just no one else who has anywhere close to that game on clay. And what you saw at the Australian Open, if you watched that final, with sort of the quicker points, the power, the precise winners, the overwhelming service. God, man, some of those second serves in the 180 kilometer per hour range. Never see that at women's tennis at the slam level. Like, so, that was awesome.
Right. So, like, awesome. Rybakina and Sabalenka are serving the ball, let's put it in our terms, at like 120 miles per hour.
120, yeah. Yeah.
Which, I guess if you go back to like wood rackets, would be like what Roscoe Tanner was serving in 1979 with a wood racket, right? Even though he's been clocked at higher than that. But that's kind of where we are with the evolution of the sport. NBA, yeah. Let's go NBA. Let's crescendo to the NFL.
Sure.
What do you, first of all, let me just ask you a bigger question before we get to your picks.
Yeah.
Kyrie was pretty salient yesterday. By the way, I love it when Kyrie has moments where he's like a normal human being. But he was talking about load management, and specifically, he was was like, "What are we going to do about this issue?" And he I think appropriately said, "I see it from both sides, and I have to sit in the middle because he's part of the National Basketball Players Association. He's the VP there." He says, I have to sit in the middle and just say we have things in the works right now that we talk about, but all in all, everybody's body's different, everybody's will to play is different, everybody's desire to be out there is different. On and on he goes, but I think he's right. Like, you can understand it from both sides. From a betting standpoint, how much has this affected your day-to-day life?
Well, this year it's been total chaos. Last year, I was able to get ahead of a lot of it just because you could kind of sense what teams sort of what their strategy was, and it was a little bit more predictable. And so you could find a team that was, you just look at a week schedule and you're like, oh, that's a bad spot. That's a bad spot. That's a bad spot. Like, let's get in early here, here, and here. And then, once the news breaks that LeBron and AD are sitting, the -1 is going to go to -9, like that kind of stuff was relatively straightforward last year. It has not been this year. This year it's been a lot more chaotic. Like the Lakers, for instance, choosing to rest everybody last night and save everybody for tonight against the Knicks. Like, that's not something that happened last year. Kyrie's point of view is pretty useful, though, because he was, of course, not playing at home last year. So he was load management without an injury. But boy, oh boy, did it improve his performance. I mean, he was unbelievable at the end of the season when he was the only guy that was fresh and everybody else was gassed. So, I'm sure he does have the right perspective to help us unwind this. But I personally still like the 82-game schedule. I am perfectly fine with them, kind of grinding these guys during the regular season. But, the fans obviously need a voice in this, and they are unhappy.
They are unhappy, and justifiably so. Especially, like, interconference games where matchups only happen once or twice a year with big stars. And if that happens to be on the second of a back-to-back or in a back-to-back situation, that becomes super problematic. Drew's NBA plays for the night. There's only 5 games. And his thoughts on Super Bowl 57 on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on football's big game, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits, deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the season, where our experts break down brackets, best bets, and all the big game props. Don't miss out. It is a limited time offer, though. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up. For only $9.99, that's U.S. for the Canadian conversion. Tune into the final countdown later with Stormy Bonnetoni and Matt Brown. Yeah, that's VSIN.com/subscribe. We lost the money conversion in the divorce. That wasn't something you wanted to keep.
Don't have the energy to keep that one up.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Primetime, Cowboys_Cubs1. Love to hear Gil's coverage of the LIV lawyers, the LIV lawyers meeting with Augusta members. Voiceovers by the incomparable Foghorn Leghorn, Chris Cuomo, with Gil's mom interjecting the wisdom as judge and jury would be downright epic. Perhaps a legal guessing lines from Kelly. Thank you for that, Primetime. A keen observer of the show. Tim Thompson. If Purdy has Tommy John, it might only be 6 months. Assume quarterback would be more like position player in MLB, catcher, shortstop, etc., who's had Tommy John much shorter recovery than pitchers, who are typically a year recovery back from surgery. Not what I read, man, but you might know better than I. He's still got to throw something. And I know he's not throwing at 90 miles per hour like a pitcher is, but there still is that movement.
Well, that was the part that I don't know if I was ever the full believer in Josh Allen 100% recovered from his injury during the season.
That's
you know, like he had a UCL injury, right? I don't know. I was in that camp, or maybe I'm just too big of a Josh Allen guy.
Eddie Vegan Runner. Over under on babyface songs, Kelly knows 4.5. Oh, it's over. Over.
What? What do you mean?
Yes, you know more than 4.5
baby songs.
So you're
saying if you played these songs?
Dude, I'll say them. I won't even play them. End of the Road by Boyz II Men.
Yeah.
You know that, right?
Well, you were saying during a break, what? Boyz II Men and TLC? I mean, come on, TLC.
Baby, TLC. Do you know that song?
Yeah, like I got like their whole catalog.
My, Johnny Gill.
I don't know that one.
You don't know My, but Johnny Gill? Oh, my God.
Know. Maybe I'll have to play it. I don't know.
All the Bobby Brown songs. Don't Be Cruel.
Okay, yeah.
Every Little Step.
Yeah.
Have we gotten to five? Look at you.
That's a good one.
Have we gotten to five yet?
Yeah, you got a 4 or 5.
Whitney Houston, I'm your baby tonight. You know, way over 4.5.
I read that differently, though. I thought it was like, I have to name 5. Like
I named them for you.
Yeah, you named them.
Rick Olier. Hey, guys, I just woke up from a 2-day coma. Somehow the amount of time Romo said Jim had some sort of hypnosis effect on me, which started somewhere around the 2-minute warning. Bengals end up winning?
I just saw some great tweet of their. That game had the highest TV rating since last year's Super Bowl, and I just saw someone tweet with a retweet of Robo's voice. Jim, did you see the ratings? They were great. Let's bring in Gene. Gene, what do you think about the broadcast?
The most fun part of Guessing Lives yesterday was just transcribing his stuff and reading it back. I just want to say this because I said this off air about Romo because I've given Romo a hard time with all of his sort of meandering analysis. What people loved about him at first was that he predicted the plays before they happened, right? I'll just say this. Chris Cooley used to play for the Washington football team, right? And the next, when he retired, he was on DC Sports Radio literally the next year. So it was just a summer removed. And when I remember that summer, he would say to his, you know, standard sports talk co-host, he'd be like, guys, I haven't been there in a minute and I have no idea what they're doing. I have no idea what they're trying to do. So Romo, this far into it, the game has largely passed him by. Not because it's his fault. That's how quickly the game moves. So he can't predict it the way he used to.
Yeah, you're talking about with kind of the play predictions that he always used to do that first year or two. I do think that's what it is. I think he's too removed from the game at this point.
So now we're left with him saying things like what was the quote from the other day where he said,
"I think it's a catch. I think it's a catch. Oh no, it's incomplete."
So great. I transcribed it. Now I can't find it. All right. Drew Dinsick is kind enough to join us. Drew, before we get to the Super Bowl, NBA tonight, short slate. What do you like?
Yeah. I'm against the steam in a couple of these sides here. Not exactly sure who's moving these, but we are going head to head. I like Miami getting the points. They're out to 5.5. I think that game should be 4.5. And I think that'll be pretty competitive. I'm not expecting Jimmy Butler to go. If he ends up going, that'll be a little bit of, just a cherry on top, I think. But realistically, I like the matchup here for Miami in a lot of different ways. And then similarly, Denver is getting bet against. People all about the New Orleans Pelicans here. Denver's down to 6.5. I have Denver as a meaningful advantage here. Of course, the altitude is always a factor when you're traveling, and the New Orleans coming in a little bit gassed. So decent rest advantage here for the Nugs, and I think that one should be at 8, and it's 6.5 right now. So I got 6.5 on the Nugs and 5.5 plus 5.5 for the Miami Heat. The New York Knicks is also a bet for me at -3. Not feeling as good about that because of the Lakers seem to have circled this one for whatever reason, and you're going to have a healthy LeBron and a healthy Anthony Davis out there with the full load. The problem is the rest of the Lakers are in deep trouble in terms of how much basketball they have had to play of late. So if there are, there are any kind of stints where the second unit is getting meaningful time, then they are going to get run off the floor by the Knicks. So Knicks, I think, ought to be about a 4.5 point spread there. So I laid the 3.
Yeah, I was looking at that Denver side too tonight, Drew. Brandon Ingram coming back tonight. CJ McCollum, he'll be playing. It looks like Jamal Murray, the one questionable tag for Denver. I think I'm going to try to get out as soon as that news comes out. If he is playing tonight, I'm going to try to get out in front of that and grab. Yeah, if there's still 6.5 out there, I'm with you. I think that's a good bet tonight.
And by the way, Russell Westbrook now 10th all-time in assists, just past Gary Payton. Isaiah Thomas now in his sights for number 9 all-time for Russell Westbrook. And LeBron James 117 points shy of the all-time points record from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Which, again, you can bet on this in some places. Which game will he do it? Will he do it, based on what his recent average is, could be within 3 or 4 games here. So there's that to sort of search for betting wise. All right.
Hopefully not tonight.
Oh no, I don't think. Maybe not tonight. Maybe not even the next game.
Yeah. Unrelated, but if you add regular season and playoffs, LeBron is like 1,700 points past Kareem already. Like, this is the playoff points don't count?
No, playoff points do not count. And he, the way he's playing at 38, it's just like this could go on. I mean, he's going to have a massive lead. And I think the most amazing part about it is, like, when you think about, I don't know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or Karl Malone, the first thing you think about is, yeah, they were scorers. That was what they did primarily on a basketball court. When you think about Jordan, you think, oh, he did lots of things. He was great at lots of things. But he was still a scorer above all. Do you think that about LeBron? Like, I'm not even sure you do. You think about him doing all these different things. It's incredible. Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah, he's the most fluid position. Can play 1 through 5 offensively. He has been a joy to watch as far as being able to handicap and watch and bet NBA during his era has been awesome.
All right, Kansas City Chiefs, Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles favored by 2.5. What do you like?
Man, this one's a weird one. If we had kind of set this game up last week when we were handicapping the conference championships, and you said, okay, well, you like the Eagles, you like the Chiefs, give me your line for the Super Bowl, I would have told you Chiefs -2.5. Mm-hmm. And honestly, when we came, and I would have said 2.5, and I would have given you the caveat, but I kind of hope that the Chiefs just run over the Bengals and maybe you get Eagles +3. Like, I had eyes to bet the Eagles as a dog. And so maybe I was kind of biasing myself in a hopeful bet that really was never realistic. But whatever the case was, I thought, you know, at the time, Eagles got some good matchups. This could be a score for score type of a game. And, you know, with the Chiefs in general not having quite the number of horses on offense and, you know, some potential weaknesses on defense, this is a decent matchup for the Eagles. And then coming out of the Eagles game against the Niners, I feel very, very, very apprehensive about buying into Jalen Hurts being healthy and effective offensively through the air at all. He is pretty clearly, in my opinion, still dealing with the ramifications of the shoulder injury he suffered against the Chicago Bears. If you look at some of the detailed statistical breakdown from him coming back from the injury, the two games against the Giants, the game against the Niners, completion percentage over expectation, the only 3-game stretch of his entire career where he's had a negative completion percentage versus expectation. And his air yards have gone down. And he is still not as accurate, as effective as a passer. And oh, by the way, they run like the last 17 plays of the game. In those, you know, among those plays, a number of quarterback runs. And I'll be darned if I didn't see him take a pretty aggressive hit that may have even re-aggravated the shoulder injury. So for me, coming out of that Eagles game, I was like, no thanks. Whatever number they put on the Chiefs, I'm involved, even if it's 2.5, -2.5. And, you know, similarly coming out of the Chiefs game, I think with 2 weeks, you know, Mahomes largely looked, realistically fine until he re-aggravated the sprain in the first half. And I think with 2 weeks now of recovery and treatment, he's going to be perfectly fine for this Super Bowl. And I'm assuming that the defensive players, Willie Gay and Legarius Sneed, are available. I'm assuming that at least one of the wide receivers makes a comeback here from their stint on the injury report. Probably not Kadarius Toney, but maybe Juju Smith-Schuster or Hardman. So for me, it's the Chiefs. I still think the line should be -2.5, and I'm going down with Pat Mahomes.
I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. I think it's a fumble, and if you never get possession of the ball, even if your arm goes forward, you never have possession. It's going to be a fumble, Jim. That's the exact quote. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it.
Hey, best luck, guys.
We'll talk next week. Drew Dinsick, everybody. What's the prop, the Super Bowl prop that flummoxes bettors, new bettors the most? That's next.
The Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Basketball fans can turn a loss into a win with the king of sportsbooks. Just place a single first basket score prop bet on any NBA game. And if your bet loses, you'll receive up to $25 back in bonus bets. Wager confidently and take your game to the next level with BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Just log into your account or download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Then wager on any player to score the first basket in any NBA game. And if your bet misses, you'll get up to $25 back in bonus bets. Turn game time into showtime with BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Skill Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Kelly Bidlin, who is producer number 9, so much more than a producer. We're still counting. Kelly, another 80 for Brady promo, only in theaters Friday.
That movie hasn't come out yet?
It's in theaters. You have to go to a theater to watch it. What would you put the betting odds on you, Kelly Bidlin, showing up in a theater to watch this?
Zero. There's no chance.
Bro,
no,
I would
let's play the game, Gil, of how much money would I need to get paid to sit through that movie? And you'd have to start with...
Would you be able to eat the whole time? So it wouldn't be that bad. Like, if you were not able to eat anything, just sit there and watch it.
Yeah, no. I don't go to the movies to eat. Like, is that like a thing?
I'm just saying, like popcorn.
I know people
popcorn, about the popcorn allows you to distract you.
No,
from,
you're right. Though, yeah. It would be more annoying if I had to go see a movie I didn't care about at all and I couldn't enjoy some popcorn or something.
Yeah.
Isaiah said $100. No, I would not take. I would not sit through that for $100. Like maybe three is where we could start the conversation.
Me and my buddy Wes now, we've gotten to the age now where we'll pass clubs and nightclubs in Vegas, which we used to go to all the time, and now we'll say things like, "You have to go into that club." And you have to spend 3 hours of your time sober. How much money would this take? And it's like the bidding begins at 5K.
Oh, I'm that guy who's, if anybody asks me, like they're in town, like friends or whatever, they'll be like, "Hey, we're going out here. You want to come tonight?" I'm like, "Do you have a table?" And they're like, "No." Like, I'm like, "No, I don't want to go." And like, you're like, "Oh, Kelly, big club guy, likes the tables." No, it's not that at all. I just don't want to be around a million freaking people jamming into me, elbowing me, and I got to wait 20 minutes to get a $16 beer. No, can't do it, Gil. Won't do it.
Vegas Lifestyle Pod. It's like 12th or 13th annual, something like that. 12th annual, something like that. Vegas Lifestyle Pod on the Beating the Book podcast this week. Some of us are old, but some of us are young on the show. So we will have some. Jeff Parles isn't much of a nightclub kid either, though. That kid never goes to a nightclub, right?
I don't think so.
All right, we'll see.
He knows all the hot buffets in town.
He sure do.
I know that.
All right, so as we're, you know, on the break, I'm just looking here at Super Bowl props. So I was just like randomly checking. So, you know, I'm just looking at one randomly, which is will the opening, because this is something we've bet in years past, will there be a touchback on the opening kickoff? And the yes is minus 190. And I'm looking at touchback percentages for both the Chiefs and the Eagles, and they're both right around 65%, which is exactly minus 190 if you do a money line conversion, I believe. So, again, with most of these formulaic Super Bowl props, they're not making any mistakes, right? The ones that are just generic like that, it's very easy to look at a touchback percentage to convert that to a money line. Maybe you have some angle on some of these, but generally there are no mistakes. Now, here is the Super Bowl prop that flummoxes, gives me a chance once a year to use the word flummox, new bettors the most. For whatever reason, it's the prop every year. It doesn't matter which two teams are playing. Happens to be the Chiefs and the Eagles this year, but it doesn't matter which two teams are playing. Will a team score three times in a row? Will any team score three times in a row? By the way, this does not include extra points or two-point conversions. Will a team score three times in a row? The yes is, you know, the prices on these are such that the average new bettor looks at them and like, "Oh my God, are you kidding me? Three times in a row? These are two of the best teams in football, if not the two best. The likelihood of them scoring, if either team scoring three times in a row, is very minimal. And you're telling me that on the no, we get plus money on these? Oh, my God. And not negligible plus money? Wow. This is such a great bet." No. It happens all the time. Yes is appropriately priced at like minus 170.
I will perfectly admit, I was that guy. I mean, 15,
everybody was.
15 years ago. Yes. When it's amazing. I don't know why it jumps out to you.
It does.
Because you could look through 150 Super Bowl props, and for like I'll remember just being in my early 20s and looking through prop sheets, right? And it's, wow, this one, Yeah, like that makes sense.
They must have had a medical event when making this line.
Like, nope. I don't know why, but I was totally that guy until you get burned on it a couple times.
You're not alone. That and in fact, I remember when I used to, in the early days of podcasting, when I used to interview random offshore people, and I would ask that question, which is the prop that gets it? It was always that one. And by the way, it flips appropriately because there's also props offered. Will either team score four times in a row? Extra points and two-point conversions accepted. In that case, it is correctly flipped. That is very unlikely to happen. So the plus goes to the yes side and the minus goes to the no side. So anyway, just be aware of that one three times in a row. That is likely to jump off the page for you and be like, okay, wait a minute, some mistake here? There is not a mistake. As far as, now again, we started at the top of the show with this. There are no Rihanna props in volume yet. There is
Rihanna,
like,
please.
I'm sorry, yes, Rihanna. Pardon me. Oh,
what the hell is this?
Hey, we're having some construction
fresh
going on here in
the
studio.
Point.
Hope you can't hear that across the airwaves. So we do have the national anthem being sung by a country artist by the name of Chris Stapleton. Maybe, perhaps, many of you are familiar with his work. I am not. Chris Stapleton sings with a drawl of sorts. Most of his songs are not up-tempo. They are mid-tempo to slower. The national anthem prop is at 125 seconds. So just under a minute and a half. And I don't have a super big opinion on this other than I wouldn't bet the under. I wouldn't race to bet the under. But here's the deal. In previous years, when we knew who was singing the national anthem, you could go to YouTube, you could plug in name of artist, national anthem, and you could see examples of that artist singing the Star Spangled Banner. When you do that for Chris Stapleton, nothing comes up. Only the news that Chris Stapleton will be singing the national anthem here at Super Bowl 57. So there is no video evidence to point you in either direction. So for me, that would be over or nothing, but I'm not racing to bet it, just based on the general tempo of his songs and his singing delivery. Where I would absolutely make a bet is on America the Beautiful, which to me, by the way, should be the national anthem because it's just the most beautiful song ever. Ray Charles' version being the standard bearer of all America the Beautifuls. But this is going to be sung by Babyface, Kenny Babyface Edmonds, Kenneth Babyface Edmonds, if you will, who, for those who don't know, is probably responsible for more R&B hits through the years, at least in our lifetime, those of us of a certain age and younger, than anyone. I get it. It's not Motown. For those of a certain age, older, that's a different answer. But for those of us, I would say 50 years old and younger, it's Babyface. And he got the honor, and he never thought this would happen because he never thought of himself as a Super Bowl guy, not to sing the national anthem, but to sing America the Beautiful. Now, there is a certain book, you won't find this everywhere, but there's a certain book that some of you have access to in faraway places, and we only do this for the Super Bowl because the props are so all-pervasive. And the length of time on Babyface and America the Beautiful is 90 seconds. 90 seconds. With the over slightly juiced at minus 130, the under at minus 110. Ladies and gentlemen, we have our first Super Bowl bet. Over 90 seconds at minus 130, I would pound into oblivion. Because if you try to sing America the Beautiful, by the way, there is no evidence of Babyface ever having sung it, but if you Google anybody or if you YouTube anybody singing America the Beautiful, the ability to sing that in less than 90 seconds, by the way, it's from first lyric to last lyric, is almost impossible. You would have to do one quick verse of it and get out. They're not going to ask Babyface to do America the Beautiful and expect him to do one quick verse and get the hell out of there. So the over 90 seconds, that should be minus 330, not minus 130. And that, Kelly Bidlin, is your first Super Bowl novelty prop bet of the show.
Okay, which one was it? Sorry, Foreman Kelly had to go outside and stop construction right outside the studio.
Yeah, they pick great times for that stuff.
There was literally a jackhammer two feet outside the studio.
America the Beautiful, thanks for being the show bouncer. America the Beautiful, over 90 seconds, Kenny Babyface Edmonds.
Okay.
That's your play.
Okay, I like it.
Where it's available globally. All right?
I'll have my annual, very passionate Gatorade take later.
You want to do that after the break? Yeah. Oh,
do it after the break. We'll do 8:15 because we got Kai McKean coming up next.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll do college basketball, and then Kelly, perhaps an even more sound description as scientific. To what you scientific description as to what you should bet in the Gatorade that will be poured on the winning coach. That'll be on the show as well. We will talk college basketball. What a night in the Big 12. That's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.